So, I read this morning from Genesis chapter 1 through a little bit of chapter 2. It's a story that's well known to us. And it's a story of God creating the world and everything that's in it. And sometimes we don't think about how special some of those things were that God created. And that's one of the things I want to take a moment and think about. The very first book, the very first sentence says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we don't always think about just what all that means, but scientifically speaking, one of those things that we can be aware of is that space and time are connected. They talk about the space-time continuum, which means up until there was a heavens and an earth, there was no time either. Kind of blows my mind a little bit when I think about it in those ways, but that's one of those things to think about is when God created the heavens and the earth, He created time, He created matter, He created space, He created dimensions, He created all of this stuff all at once. And the Hebrews were very aware of the fact that this was a very special thing. In fact, that word that's used there, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the word created, there's a specific Hebrew word that's used for it. And my dad has mentioned this before, but this word is typically only used of things that God does, specifically creations, because the word that God creates, does this word get used for? The heavens and the earth is used for that because it's brand new, different, unlike anything that came before because there was nothing before. But the word gets used again a little bit later. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 21, it said, "So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, God saw that it was good." And so the second time we have this word, because this is the second time, it's when God creates things that live and breathe. It's not used of the plants. The plants have already been created at this point. And certainly they were different from the dry ground and the seas and all that, but there's something unique about living creatures. And so when God creates the water creatures and the birds of the air, then at that point in time, this is unique and different from everything that came before. And it uses the word yet another time in verse 27. Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." See, the land animals, they don't get the word. They're not unique enough from the sea and from the birds of the air. But then you come to the last thing that God creates, man. And man is given this special word. Man is a special creation. Animals live and breathe, but it is into man that God breathed the breath of life. It is man who is unique among all of God's creations, and it's the last of God's creations, in Genesis the first chapter, that this word is used for. Man is unique amongst everything that has been created. This is something a lot of people in the world today would like to say isn't true, that man is unique. There's lots of people who want to say, man's just one of the animals. But we're not. There's a lot of things that men do that animals don't. You can take a person, cut them off from all human contact, so that you just have a person alone. And you know what that person does as soon as they meet another person? They communicate. No animal does that. No animal is such a natural communicator like people are. No animal goes through and modifies their environment the way that people do. God told Adam and Eve that they were to rule over the earth, over the animals and the fish and all the plants. And indeed, we do that. Not always the way that we think. Our creations. We are the ones who are created in the image of God. We are creative as He is the Creator. And so we are separate from everything else. We are unique. And sometimes we need to just remind ourselves that each and every one of us is a unique creation of God. God created each and every one of us. And so there's several things that come out as a result of the fact that God created each and every one of us. If we jump down to Exodus chapter 34, and we look at verse 10. Exodus 34 and 10. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Now I'm going to tell you right now that every single one of the passages that I'm going to read to you is going to have this word for creation in it. The special, unique creation. The NIV doesn't really translate that word here. But it's talking about the idea that God is going to do these special wonders for His people. This is as they have just really messed up. Moses has just had to talk to God and say, hey, if you don't go with us, what's the point? And God says, okay, fine, I'll go with you. But then He goes on with this. He's going to do these wonders before the people. He is going to create a whole new way of things for them. Whole new set of wonders, of miracles. And all the people who are going to hear of it are going to tremble for fear of the Israelites. That's actually what we see when Joshua gets to Jericho and the entire city is afraid. Not because of the size of the army, though Joshua had a big army, but because they had heard of all of the things the Lord God had done. And so they were afraid. God created wonders for His people. But there was a second part of it. The wonders were not just there to be awesome and amazing. They were those things, but that's not their entire purpose. Their entire purpose included the idea of this covenant that God is going to make with His people. Right after they had just really messed themselves up and had just tried to reject Him, He is now making a covenant with Him. And you know, that has some very real parallels for us today. God created a sign and a wonder for us all to look at when He sent His Son Jesus Christ. And that made things unique to make a covenant with His people, to save His people and to cause terror to the world. And so there is a certain similarity between what He is talking about here in Exodus and what we are aware of still today. God has not changed. He is still the creator of new and amazing miracles. We come down to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and Isaiah has a lot to say about the idea of God as the creator. But we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 45, verses 8 through 10. You heavens above, and this is God speaking, you heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? Woe to the one who says to a father, what have you begotten? Or to a mother, what have you brought to birth? God is the creator. He made everything. He made each and every one of us. David actually goes into detail with that of, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God has a vested interest in each and every person who has ever lived on this earth and who ever will live on this earth. Because God has invested time and effort into each and every one of us. We are all made in His image. But there's a second part to this. That makes us the pottery. That makes us the clay. That makes it so that He is there shaping us. And it is up to us whether or not we accept that shaping. The people Isaiah is talking to here, they did not accept the shaping that God had in mind for them. They came out deformed, twisted, unsuitable for any purpose. God has plans and designs for each and every one of us. We don't always see those plans. We don't always understand those designs. I don't think that we could. But God does have a plan and design for each and every one of us. Our memory verse right now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, talks about the idea that God has prepared in advance good works for us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. He made us for a purpose. He made us to do things. And if you think about our modern watch, if this watch hadn't come out the way the people who made it wanted it, would they have sold it? Would they have kept it? No, they would have thrown it out. The same thing is true of so many other things that are created in this world. If it doesn't come out the way the Creator wants it, they get rid of it. And that's part of the idea here with God's creation. We are the creations of God. We are His workmanship. He formed us. If we do not turn out the way that He desires us to be, what is He going to do? And unfortunately, we already know the answer. But people make the choice themselves whether they are going to fit the mold or not. Whether they're going to follow what He says or not. Malachi chapter 2 verse 10, Malachi says, "Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another?" If you remember my father's lesson, the idea that everybody came from Adam, that's part of the idea that Malachi is getting at here. Did not one God create us all? Indeed, we're all from one God. Every person living today was made by God. And so then that needs to inform how we act towards each other and towards all mankind. We need to make sure that we are not being unfaithful to one another, as Malachi says here. And he goes into greater detail here because he's talking to the Israelites. But there's a broader idea here. James talks about the idea that with our mouths we praise God and then we curse man who was made in the image of God. And that should not be, because you cannot have both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring. It doesn't work. This is part of the idea that we're dealing with here of when we look at our fellow men, how do we talk about them? How do we act towards them? Because they too were made in the image of God. They are worthy of respect for that, if no other reason. The way that we treat the people around us is going to have an effect on whether or not we have followed the way that God desires us to be. Whether or not we have fit the mold that He desires of us. And each of our molds may be unique, but all of them are based off of God's desires, God's respect. So what is it that we are to do? Well, we are to honor. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, coming up very close to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, Solomon writes, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." I really like a lot of the imagery in this, because you think about this, and when is it the stars grow dim? Well, they will grow dim at the end of time. But as we get older, our eyes aren't quite as good as they once were. We can't see the stars quite as well as we once could. And I'll be honest with you, if I take off my glasses, I don't even see stars anymore. When I first got my glasses, I put them on, I said, oh look, there really are leaves on trees. That's the way these things are. But there's a lot of people who, as they get older, their ability to see at night really starts to deteriorate. And perhaps driving becomes an issue. But one of the things that we're looking at here is this idea of you can't see as well. Or they rise up for the songs of birds, but all the songs grow dim. Because there goes your hearing. And you can't hear quite as well as you once could. There's days I'm sure that's me, because I know my student said something and I just didn't hear it. But all of these are things that we see happening as we get older. I'm more afraid of what may happen on the streets today than I was when I was 12. I'm not saying the streets are any more dangerous than when I was 12. They might be, maybe not might. But nowadays I worry about what's going to happen to my children when they're playing on the street. Because I'm more aware of the things that are going on and I may not be able to take care of things. There are worries, there are concerns. There are things that as a child we don't think about. But these things come. And Solomon says, before that silver cord is severed, before that pitcher is shattered, before the end of your life, remember your Creator. Remember Him not just when you're old, but remember Him in the days of your youth. Before trouble comes. Remember Him when you are young, because the things that you do when you're young are going to inform how you live when you're older. And there is an assurance that we have, knowing that we are with God. Knowing that God is on our side, who can be against us? So remember Him as soon as the opportunity comes. No. God is there for us, and so keep Him with you all the time. If you are with Him when you're young, He'll be with you when you're old. And when that silver cord is severed, and the Spirit goes to be with the one who gave it, we'll know it's in a safe place. If we remember Him when we're young, we can be shaped, like pottery, to be what it is that He desires for us to be. Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. There was a question I was recently asked about how happy heaven's going to actually be. Because the picture that we typically are given of heaven is from people who really don't understand it. And there's just no way around that. But you have this sterile picture of people in robes lounging on clouds and kind of strumming a harp. That's never a picture of heaven, actually. That's nowhere in the Bible. The picture of heaven involves things like fishing from the book of Ezekiel. Or trees that grow fruit that you can pick all year round. I love doing that, by the way. City. Life, it's a place of joy. But in order to get there, we need what David first said here. Create in me a pure heart, O God. See, David uses that special word, that unique creative word, to talk about the idea of getting a pure heart, because we're humans. And one thing that we can't do on our own is have a pure heart. I have not had a pure heart since I was pretty young, until God created a new one within me. And it is up to God to make sure that we constantly are being created with a new, pure heart. Without God's special ability to create, something that nothing else can do, salvation would be impossible for us because we could not become new creatures. We would be stuck being the old. And being the old is not sufficient to get us into this joyful place. This joy of salvation that David is looking forward to is not for old creations. It is for something new, something different, something that only God can make us because He is the Creator. This is where that covenant with God comes in. When we turn to God and we say, make me what you want to make of me, the first thing He does is He creates within us a pure heart. And He sends His Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that He will not take it from us. And so once we are then new and created as something unique and different, we know that God is there and will take care of us because then He lives within us. And so we can turn back to the book of Isaiah one more time here. Okay. One more time after this. I got two more passages in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And these are great verses, and I love these ones. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Well, have you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Yesterday I was watching my 3-year-old daughter running around the house. Seems like she's... But you know, yesterday at about 2 o'clock, she walked into the room where I was. She looked at me. She turned around. She took 2 steps. And she laid down. And she was asleep. Even youths grow weary and get tired. It doesn't matter how much energy they seem to have. Eventually, they're going to collapse. Sometimes that's the way it seems. It's just they go, 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 and boom, they're done. I see it in all my children, every one of them. And as I get older, it seems I get tired more and more often and more easily. And I joke with a variety of people that, man, I wish I had your energy because imagine all the things I could do with that because I know so much more now than I did then. But God is the creator of everything. He has created so much. And it says here that as the creator, one of the things that He can do is to give strength to those who trust in Him. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I just switched to the King James because it's the way memory works. God has the power to create the world. Surely He also has the power to give us the strength we need to make it through this life and also the life to come. I imagine that when we get to heaven, we will no longer be tired the way that we are now. Our bodies will not have this inclination that they do right now towards sleep in the same way. I like sleep, so I like to think occasionally that I might sleep every so often because sleep's good. I like sleep. But there's this idea that it's not the same kind of thing. The bodies that we will be new, unique creations from God that will have the strength to do it all. Maybe even fly. And how great that will be, won't it? So the final promise that we have from God, in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, God says, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." There are those who think that this earth is the one that is destined for us to be in. That's not what God says here. He says He's going to create new heavens and a new earth. And the word is, again, that same creation. That it will be as much better than this world as man is better than the other animals. It'll be as different as man is different from the other animals. It'll be a higher order, a different way of being. Similar, but different, new, unique. God has promised a new home for us, a place where He will dwell amongst us. He will be our God and we will be His people, where Jesus will be our lamp there in the midst of us, where we will be able to sit on the throne with Him. And what a beautiful and glorious time that will truly be when the Creator of all things makes something that's even better than everything that we have here. That is what is available to us as long as we are willing to submit to our Creator, to be the pottery He desires us to be, to let Him create in us a pure heart. If there's anybody who needs to come this morning before that Creator, so that He can once again, or maybe for the first time, create in you a pure heart, you have the opportunity to do so as we stand and we will sing the invitation song.